Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, folks, this is The Diary. This is Stacy coming to you out of SAC with Ray every Sunday at 3.
Okay.
From 3 to 4, we are here on Sunday, April, what is today, the 11th, the Sunday after Easter. We took a little Easter break, but we did come on like gentle women and tell everybody happy Easter and all that good stuff.
That's
it
right.
It is a beautifully rainy day here in Sacramento. First of all, let me give the call-in number because I never do, and that's 917-889-9946. This is The Diary. And this is a talk show for the Association of African American Single Mothers. And today, we're going to talk about what we were going to talk about on Easter Sunday, which is how Easter celebrated throughout the world. That's one thing. We're also going to talk about Passover. And something that's very interesting to me and my family is the Illuminati. We're going to talk about that, the origins of it, what it means, and how I think I've got a good understanding just because I studied it, and thanks to my daughter who made the secret back to my attention, and I remembered it from a couple of years back, but she and her friend had been looking at it, and it's all interrelated, and it's all great, and I think it's not something to be scared of, but it's something to learn about. So we're going to talk about the Illuminati.
Okay, I need to be educated.
Well, we all do, and that's a good part of the show.
Yeah, definitely.
I love learning stuff. I'm just a professional student, I guess, with a job.
Exactly.
But most of them don't have jobs, right?
That's true.
I do and I don't. But anyway, so we're talking about cyberbullying also, and we're having a seminar beginning Saturday the 17th, where we're going to have webinars for about a month's time to teach parents what to look for, what it's all about. So we're going to talk about cyberbullying today. We're also going to talk about Confederate History Month, and I know that's high on Ray's list of events to celebrate.
Absolutely.
So
I got my outfit already.
Right.
Dress.
Confederate
yep.
History Month and what that's all about. Oh, man, the militia that were arrested before Easter, those kooks, and what I think that means. And there's a lot of new stuff on the website for the Southern Poverty Law Center that we'll be going over the next couple of weeks. And then we want to start, I guess, with some open comments. We weren't here last week, Ray, so is there something you wanted to say before I get started with my big old mouth?
Wow, right off the bat, I can't think right in the jump here.
Okay. Right in the jump.
Yeah, most of my things are related to things that you wanted to talk about anyway. So.
Right. So Confederate History Month, let's talk about that. Tell me what you think about that. What it's all about, and on my show page, I made a mistake.
Right.
I said the senator from Virginia, but he's actually the governor, Virginia. Made the proclamation that in April, it is officially Confederate History Month, Black History Month. Well, they have Confederate History Month that they're celebrating, and all the beauty and wonder that came out of the Confederate Party.
I suppose their whole thing is all about how it's supposed to be a commemorative thing about the history, teaching the history and all of this stuff. And then he just left out that one little
tiny part of the history,
just
right?
Just that little itty-bitty little.
And what would that be?
That would be something about some enslaved people that they had that helped build their state. And
there was like over 500,000 slaves in Virginia. That's a half a million people.
Yeah.
There were more black people in Virginia at that time. What? Two-thirds were black.
See, that's
but I guess he said, slavery wasn't so much a part of that part. But you know what? Slavery was the reason for the Civil War.
Right.
They wanted it. The North didn't want it. So they fought, and thank God, they won.
Part
five, right?
Exactly. This goes back to that revisionist history thing that we were talking about the other week about the textbooks and things.
Right.
All interrelated.
Right. And you know what? I personally think, and that's why I'm an aware African-American. I make my children aware. Mm-hmm. I make my family aware. And now I'm trying to make people that take the time to listen to me aware. I mean, this to me seems like, you know, all of this crazy stuff, oh, you lie, and, mm-hmm. and baby killer, and now Confederate History Month,
yeah.
and all of this is, I believe, the used to be majority is now the minority.
And they're
and
scared.
And he. the white man, they're losing their mind.
Right. They're frightened beyond belief.
The simple fact that they have illiterate AZZ, and that's how I say ass now.
Oh, okay.
AZZ.
All right, new code.
All right. yeah, I can get stuck. But wait, they have Sarah Palin as their forerunner, and she's everywhere. And Michael Steele needs to be socked in his mouth.
Michael Steele.
He should be socked in his mouth.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Absolutely.
So, you know, they're losing their minds, so that's why they want to celebrate Confederate History Month. And, you know, and one thing I must say, a week ago tomorrow, the miners in
West Virginia. Yeah, my grandfather was a miner in West Virginia.
You know, and my heart goes out to those people, and they're the most courageous people. To me, that's like military. There's no way in God's green earth you would have me. First of all, I'm claustrophobic.
Right.
So I wouldn't have been able to do it.
Okay.
you know, no, I can't. No. I had an MRI, and it was a 40-minute procedure, and I had to pray.
My sister had that happen, too.
My heart goes out to the miners and to their families, and they're so brave, and God bless them for being able to do that. But on the other hand, I'm looking at those folks.
yes.
And
I know
they make me scared, because if you look, it's almost like they're maybe so detached from regular society that you can't even understand what they're saying half the time.
Right.
And that part of America, just like white America may be scared of me and little Roro and Fifi and Bobo,
uh-huh.
I'm scared of that, because that
isolated white man.
Right. You can tell them anything and they'll go for it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like, I think, the Tea Party mentality groups and people that they're so isolated from the rest of society that you could tell them anything. And I don't want America to be that isolated.
That's a really good point.
I don't want America to be like that.
Yeah.
I want everybody to mix in, and because I'm like, whoa, what did you just say?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, it's that part of America that frightens me.
And they don't have that learning that comes from having, you know, just interacting like in the urban.
Like we have to. We have to interact with everybody if we want to survive.
Exactly.
African Americans have to interact with everyone. We have to look at them on the TV. We have to work with their supervisors. They
are
everything. They're our everything.
Our
and then I was just looking on TV. I mean, all the good representations of doctors and lawyers and psychologists and metaphysicists, none of those people are black.
No.
And that bothers me, and I want to try to change that kind of thing, and I don't even know how I got on that.
Because it all ties in together.
You know, I want us all to be, this country is evolving, and it is changing, okay? The internet is good, but it's not great. There are good things to take from it. There are good things because of it. There are also bad things. Our nation is changing.
Mm-hmm.
We have an African-American president. Somehow that happened. Because you know what? Because Bill Clinton couldn't keep his pee-pee in his pants. That's why we have an African-American. You know it goes down to that.
I don't.
Yeah, you know what? And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to take you there.
Take me there.
Okay. They came to Barack Obama and said, hey, look, Barack, because Hillary, yeah, she the girl, but she's got so much dirt. They're going to put so much dirt out there because of her husband, and he can't keep his pee-pee in his pants, not only when he was president, but even after.
Okay.
You can be the man because you're the clean man. You can be the man, and you're likable. That's how we have a black president, and thank God that they're both working together. That's just how it works. That's how politics works.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works. You got to be the clean nose guy,
mm-hmm.
or they use your dirtiness against you.
That's true.
And they do that now. I mean, Stupak, he's resigning.
Yeah.
You know, only God knows why, but our country is changing, we're evolving, and that's a good thing. Change is hard, but it's good, and that's what we need to do. So we're going to take a break. When we come back on the diary, we're going to talk about how Easter is celebrated, because that's very important. We're going to talk about Passover and the Illuminati, which is, to me, is a very good thing, but highly misunderstood. This is the diary. We come out of Sacramento, California, every Sunday from 3 to 4, me and Ray. The Association of African American Single Mothers is here
That's
to help
right.
you. And please tell anyone you know to go to sfjohnsonconsulting.com. Sign their kids up for the cyberbullying webinar. We're going to have law enforcement from across the country. We have one of our friends, our very good friend that we have made very good friends with that Ray doesn't even know yet. Dr. Walter Jacobson is my friend, and he's going to be presenting also about cyberbullying, what we can do to stop
Wonderful.
It. Wonderful. And it's going to be a good thing. So
That's great.
We're going to take a quick break. And you know what? Let's play the love doctor because I'm in love. I love rainy days. I'm in love with Elijah. Elijah made me so happy this weekend. I spent my Saturday with Elijah.
Your grandson.
My grandson. Mm-hmm. My daughter is great. My sons are handsome and perfect. Mm-hmm. I have everything going for me. So.
Right on.
And I have the diary and I have all you people. And thank you for the influx of listeners. So we're going to take a break. Love doctor, I love you. You love me. We are happy family. We'll be right
back. Oh,
gross.
Barney.
I never did like Barney.
No.
Okay.
He's subversive.
Okay. We'll be back. All right, that was the love doctor, and this is your love mama, Stacy. Stacy, your host of the diary. This is the talk show for the Association of African American Single Mothers, coming out of rainy Sacramento today with Ray. Now we're going to talk about how Easter is celebrated around the world, and I chose some of three that I thought were most interesting, and one is how Easter is celebrated in France, how it's celebrated in Italy, and how it is celebrated in Mexico.
Oh, wow.
Because one of the holiest festivals in the Christian calendar, Easter, is celebrated around the world with great fanfare and religious fervor. While the religious observations of the festival follow the Christian church, the basic contours of Easter celebration may vary in different countries, of course, due to regional influences. These variations straddle almost all the aspects of Easter celebration. In the majority of countries, the Easter bunny is the prominent Easter symbol, while in France, Easter fish and bells are major Easter icons. Pre-Lent carnivals are held across the world, with the Rio de Janeiro Carnival being the most famous one. In many Eastern European countries, Easter egg decoration is an integral part of Easter celebrations. However, in today's age of rampant commercialization, of course, the religious significance of Easter is fast losing its relevance. And on top of this Easter, and I have to add, with the pedophile and the Catholic Church and putting all of that, you know, like I said, America's changing. The Catholic Church needs to change.
Oh, yeah.
You know, nothing is wrong with change.
No.
You know, and you reap what you sow, and no matter how long it takes. So although I'm a Catholic born and raised, out of respect for my parents, that's what they chose for me. And they did a very good job, and they put a lot of money into the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they trusted the Catholic Church like many, many, many families did. And I don't know, maybe some of my older siblings, you know, might have a case. I don't know. My brother was a priest.
Mm-hmm.
And he stopped being a priest after about 10 years. I never questioned him, never why. You know, maybe knowing my righteous family, he's like, oh, I'm not going to be associated with a bunch of pedophiles, and he left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who knows, but, you know, but I just had to add that.
That's interesting.
Okay, so, excuse me. All right, here we go. Over the years, the festival has taken the shape of a wonderful occasion to hang around with long-lost friends, close relatives, eat some good ham, right, like at my house.
Not mine, but yeah.
And have a lot of fun together. All right, so Easter in France. All right, now I'm going to do my best. There's some of the French words I know, but some I'm just going to pass over. France, regarded the sacred cradle of Christianity, celebrates Easter with great fanfare and vigor. The entire country revels in the Eastertide festivals, and shops are beautifully decorated with white and dark chocolate rabbits, chickens, bales, and fish.
Excuse me.
Children wake up on Easter Sunday morning and look in the nest they have placed in their yards or garden. Expecting to find beautifully decorated Easter eggs placed in them. All right, so Easter fish. That's one of the icons in France for Easter, is Easter fish.
Oh, wow.
The traditional Easter bunnies are not found in France, except Alsace, A-L-S-A-C-E, which borders Germany. In a marked deviation from Easter festivities elsewhere, Easter celebrations in France incorporate the Easter symbols of bales and fish. The French Easter fish are called Poisson d'Avril, which means April fish. The Poisson d'Avril makes his appearance on the 1st of April, as French children delight in playing in a kind of April's Fool's trick. They stick a paper fish onto the back of as many adults as possible.
Wow.
So that's there.
That's
okay.
Interesting.
All right, flying bells, another icon for Easter in France. Flying bells are another important part of the Easter tradition of France. French Catholics believe that on Good Friday, all the church bells in France fly to the Vatican in Rome, carrying with them the misery and grief of those who mourn Jesus' crucifixion on that day.
Wow.
Wow. These flying bells return on Easter Sunday morning and bring them lots of chocolate and eggs. In keeping with the tradition, oh, I'm glad you think that's not it. In keeping with the tradition, bring you chocolate and eggs.
You know, that's very nice.
At certain points of the month, chocolate
and
really
eggs.
Takes away
Yes.
So that all works. Okay, French church bells do not ring from Good Friday to Easter morning. Now, and I have to say that America was founded by Christians, but we were Protestants. So I could see why we didn't quite celebrate Easter the way that others did, because we are Protestants. And we made fun of Catholics, and we persecuted Catholics.
Sure.
So that's why I'm not saying, I mean, it looks like America took a little bit of everybody else's, new, and put it all together. All right, now one last thing for France and Easter. Easter eggs, okay, The contest, and that's what the president does Easter Monday, right?
Yes.
The contest of rolling raw eggs down a gentle slope is an old custom followed in France. On the ceremonious occasion of Easter, Mm-hmm. As per the legend, the surviving egg was the victory egg and symbolized the stone being rolled away from the tomb of Christ.
Wow. Oh.
For kids, playing with eggs is one of the favorite pastimes on holiday seasons and the holiday season of Easter. The little ones play a game in which the players have to throw their prospective eggs up in the air and catch them. The first one to drop his or her egg loses the game, and then we do that at picnic. On Easter Sunday, the children in France wake up in the morning to find eggs scattered in their room. They then head towards their yard or garden to retrieve beautifully decorated Easter eggs hidden in nests. And they eat lamb. Last
lamb.
In France,
really?
They traditionally eat lamb. Okay. And that is Easter in France. How did you like that?
Uh-huh.
You think?
Yeah, no, I thought it was really interesting.
Okay.
It's always neat to learn. I'm like you.
All right. Easter in Italy. Easter. Of course, one of the most important Christian festivals. It is celebrated with great pomp and show in all parts of the world where followers of Christianity reside, as this festival is combined in order to commemorate the resurrection of Jesus Christ after crucifixion. It is held in high regard by all people of this community. Much beyond feasting and celebration, the festival is one of the most holy days for the Christians around the world. Easter celebration in Israel assumes special significance because a number of Christian rituals have roots in Jewish traditions. The celebration of the Jewish festival of Passover, which we'll talk about later, which commemorates the exodus of Jews from captivity in Egypt, has been intertwined with Easter from the beginning, and the Hebrew word,
Pesach.
Okay, P-E-S-A-C-H, originally meaning Passover, came to mean Easter as well. Christian worshipers from all over the world gather in the Holy Land of Jerusalem for Easter celebration. Pilgrims congregate for an Easter sunrise service at the Garden Tomb in Jerusalem. Easter Mass is celebrated at the ancient Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem's walled Old City. Priests and monks in white robes chant the liturgy as fragrant incense rise above the tomb Christians believe to be in the place where Jesus rose from the dead.
I love incense.
I love Jesus.
Oh, okay.
Who else? That's why I'm like, Jesus is real. I mean, that's my personal opinion. I have it and I can do. Who else do we go to a wall, burn incense for, and do all of this for? Who else do we do that?
When you're I would assume that would be a normal practice.
But as opposed to, well, what else? I love it. Okay, that's just me. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
And it's not like, and you know me, it's not that I'm wholly religious and holier than that and like these right-wing people that use religion to condemn people rather than to free people.
Uh-huh.
And the real followers of Jesus use his teachings to free people. He did. And for people to use Jesus to condemn people
is wrong. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And not ever once. And if you look at the teachings of Jesus Christ, we're not talking about Isaiah back in, we're not talking about the Old Testament. If you look at the teachings of Jesus Christ, and all these people, all gay people, we want to kill gay people and they don't have rights, Jesus Christ never said a thing about great gay people.
Well, he was supposedly the bringer of the new word.
But
I think they were closing the door on
the word Christian, if you're a Christian, you believe in the teachings and the workings of that dude, Christ.
Of course.
Not Abraham. You know, so people are all screwed up when it comes to religion.
That's so true.
And that's why people don't go to church.
They don't know the
that's why they, you know, they're able to get duped and tricked so much because people are just feeding them some bull crap and condemning them instead of showing them Jesus was a person that included, and one of his homies was a prostitute. Nobody can fight that. They even think that might have been his wife.
Oh, right.
Okay, so quit faking Jesus, because Jesus won't be pimped or fake. That's why the Catholic Church is having so much trouble. You know what I'm saying? Quit pimping Jesus.
Absolutely.
Quit pimping Jesus. Jesus is real, just like we are. But he never sinned. Somehow he made it, and he never sinned. Somehow. I don't know. But he's real, so you can't pimp him. Stop pimping Jesus. All right.
Okay.
Here we go. Where was I at? Okay, Italy. That's why I'm talking about pimping Jesus. All right, during Easter, many processions are held in Israel. These processions travel the route of Jesus Christ's journey from Galitha. The route is referred to as the 12 stations of the cross. I've done it a billion times between first grade and 12th grade. Many tourists from different parts of the world also come to take part in the procession. Participating in the procession is considered to be holy practice for Christians, so generally it witnesses a lot of a crowd. Processions gather at the holy tomb of Jesus. At 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Easter Day, the church leaders go into Jesus' tomb, and the doors are closed after him. The lights of the entire city are lit off, and later the church bells ring, and the church leader comes out with a burning torch. The torch is said to have been lit inside the tomb on its own without an external, so maybe. So everyone present, you never know, so everyone present in the procession at that time lights their candles from the holy fire, enlightening the entire church premises. Easter celebrations assume more religious significance in Israel than feasting and celebration. So it's more religious significance in it. Of course, it should be. That's the birthplace and where we got him. Okay. Where we got him. I wasn't there. All right. Let's see. Where are we at?
We're about 1 minute and a half.
Okay, because I want to go over Easter in Mexico, but let's take a break because I got so crazy over people pimping Jesus that I had to take a break. So I'm going to play Funky Dan because I'm funky.
Right on.
You think I'm funky?
Yeah, always.
I'm funky.
Always.
All right. We'll be that was Funky Dan and Mrs. Funky Stace and the Diary. We have a sack every Sunday from 3 to 4. I'm here with Ray.
Hey.
And we are going over how different parts of the country, the world celebrates Easter, and we're going to finish up with Mexico because I have to go over the Illuminati. We can't leave that out.
Mm.
And we're halfway through the show. So Call in if you so choose so. What is our number? 917-889-9946. Always love to hear from you. And thank you once again for all the people that are listening on your own time, which I fully understand, and I appreciate that, you know, you guys can, because it was quite a jump last week. And make sure on Friday nights, my baby girl, Jessie T has a, oh, God, I don't even know her show, Ladies Hotspot.
Yes.
Also on Blog Talk Radio, Friday nights at 10:30. Look at that face. You know, when you see that beauty, that's me. That's me. That's my daughter. And she's a beautiful young lady, and she's spitting knowledge to women her age, and she just makes me proud. So listen to her every Friday night. She's 22, so all y'all, you know, to have, you know, you follow me on Twitter, and then you can get to her. But because I don't forgot how to get to her, but I'll get to her. We'll get to each other. But Eastern Mexico, all right. I like Eastern Mexico because, you know, this is my folks, because they mad about Jesus getting crucified. They was mad, and I'm gonna show you at the end what they do when they mad. All right.
Okay.
So Easter celebration in Mexico is a fusion of Christian rituals, and this is very important, and Native American traditions. In the days of imperialism, the Christian missionaries, as part of their effort to convert non-Christian Indians to Christianity, allowed indigenous people to blend their cultures or their customs with Easter rites. And many of these customs appear in passion plays. But in the face of a cultural onslaught of American media vehicles, many of Mexico's old age traditions are falling out of favor. And largely, you go find out why, such as Guadalajara. I love Mexicans. Them is my folks. Easter in Mexico is a little different from the rest of the world. In Mexico, it is a combination of Semana Santa, and that's S-E-M-A-N-A, Holy Week.
So I moved the mouse. Was triggered.
Don't. Okay. We just had a technical glitch. All right, here we go. Now, Easter in Mexico is a little different from the rest of the world. In Mexico, it is a combination of Semana, and that's S-E-M-A-N-A, Santa, Holy Week, Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday, and Pascua, and that's P-A-S-C-U-A, Resurrection Sunday until following Saturday. On Palm Sunday, people usually elaborately woven palms. Weavers ply their craft outside churches, and worshipers follow the priest into the church with woven fawns. Later, those palms are traditionally hung on the doors of Mexican homes to ward off evil. In many communities across Mexico, locals stage passion plays depicting biblical events such as the Last Supper, the betrayal, and the procession of the 12 stations of the cross, the crucifixion, and the resurrection. The enactments are often spectacularly staged, costumed, and acted, with volunteers preparing for their roles for nearly a full year leading up to the event. In many communities, a real crucifixion is included. So, you know, that's a passionate display of love for Easter, where they're really crucifying folks. But I don't think to the point where they die. I don't know. It doesn't say that. The performances are often wondered dramatic, and costume and enacted, with contestants planning for their roles for about a year. So last but not least, and this is what I found most funny, the most spectacular of Easter traditions in Mexico is the burning of a Judas effigy filled with firecrackers. This custom takes place on Holy Sunday, and it was outlawed in Guadalajara in the 1960s. When several people died from a massive explosion. So this is how Mexico celebrates Easter, setting up a effigy of Judas, the betrayer of Jesus Christ, and filling him with firecrackers and blowing him up. So that is Easter celebrated in at least three places across the world. Now, I want to go into the Illuminati. And this is a very interesting to me. And it is the subject of, and I'm sure many people have seen, the Da Vinci Code and angels and demons. And it has to do with all of that stuff. So let's see, the Illuminati. The Illuminati translated as the people of the light. And this refers to several groups and to the prevailing conspiracy theories about some of these groups' importance and their continued influence in the modern world. And so what's going out there now is that people know of the Illuminati, and there's a lot of conspiracy about it. It's a real thing, and I think there are parts that are scientific, and there are parts that are spiritual, and I think anytime you mix the two, there's always going to be a fight, and that is exactly what's going on. So I'm going to go over a little part of it right now. Okay, once again, the Illuminati, translated as light of the people of light, refers to several groups and the prevailing conspiracy that follows. More specifically, the Illuminati were a radical group in Bavaria founded in 1776. Which gave rise to other countries also forming Illuminati groups. The Bavarian Illuminati, as well as its offshoot groups, was a secret society to which many politicians and intellectuals were drawn. The Society of Masons was thought to have close ties with the members of the Illuminati, and many of the Masons joined the Illuminati. Some Mason groups felt that they were religiously convicted with the Illuminati because many of the Illuminati members were atheists. As far as history can suggest, Illuminati groups from Europe were some of the more advanced thinkers of the time period, reflecting humanitarianism, philosophy, and that was emerging at the time. They were opposed to the power exerted by churches and by the nobility. This organization, as a secret society, was illegal, and most probably because of the church had so much influence at that time. During its early years, the secret society may have had as many as 10 branches in Europe and 2,000 members drawn from intellectuals in Europe and other parts of the world. According to historical sources, the Illuminati fell apart in 1795. This is when speculation and conspiracy theory step in and lend a hand. And I personally don't think it's a conspiracy or speculation. Conspiracy theorists assert that the Illuminati still exists today and has extraordinary influence over government and other parts of society. One thing considered evidence is the existence of the presence of the eye on the pyramid of the $1 bill. And most conspiracy beliefs held about the Illuminati consider the order as largely influential on the Freemasons. Some believe that key members in the early formation of the U.S. government, and that's our government, like Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, and others, were members of the Illuminati, and that the group continues to influence world government. Well, of course, we're the most powerful nation, they say we are. It is suggested that the Illuminati have taken an active role in most major events in history. Some theorists allege that certain presidents and members of the British monarchy are Illuminati members. The Illuminati has recently gained some popularity with the Dan Brown novel, Angels and Demons. Brown is most recognizable as the author of the Da Vinci Code. He makes the Illuminati on as a subject of interest, suggesting that all major scientific thinkers from the age of reason, and that would be Einstein and all those guys, onward have been secret Illuminati members. Brown depicts a constant war between the Illuminati and the Roman Catholic Church, outlining the conflict between not only atheism and Christianity, but also specifically science and religion. His work, which many acknowledge advances conspiracy theories about the group, suggests that the Illuminati is still in existence and in continued warfare with the Vatican. Brown also intimates that the Illuminati have infiltrated every powerful political organization and is largely composed of the world scientific community. Nonfiction works have been made the same contention as Brown. So people that are nonfiction have made the same contention, is basically what they're saying, that the Illuminati still exists today and is in constant battle with the Catholic Church. Some theorists believe that the Illuminati's work toward establishing a new world order and have influenced most of world's events in the 20th century. That can be verified. What can be verified is that there are several groups calling themselves Illuminati in the 20th century, based on the principles of the Bavarian and European groups. These include German Ordo Illuminatium, Grand Lodge Rockefeller in the USA, and Spanish Orden Illuminati. Lastly, various perspectives exist on the beliefs of the Illuminati in the modern world. Some believe that the Illuminati's focus on science will ultimately destroy the world. Others think that the Illuminati will exist to lead the world with a principal dependence on science, and that they will specifically gain prominence after some catastrophic event on Earth destroys most of its inhabitants. That's crazy. To some, the Illuminati are an object of fear. To others, a source of hope. And to many, they are merely a curious group of exaggerated into importance by conspiracy theorists. And what we're going to do, we're going to take a break. And I'm going to come back and give you my perspective.
Oh, great, because I was just getting ready to ask you a couple questions.
Yep, we'll be right back.
Great.
This is the diary.
Go to it.
All right, that was Gazelle. This is the diary. That is a beautiful African melody. And the
throw out the phone number.
917-889-9946. This is the diary. Call us. Let us know. And I'm jealous because my daughter got callers the first night.
But see, it's young people.
She's beautiful.
No.
She has her beautiful face on her show face. She said somebody called last Friday on my phone sex, Mom.
Oh, my God.
That's her, well, you can listen, but I'm going to have to hang up.
And it's also young people. They just do stuff like that.
That's crazy.
They just are.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Know.
All right, so we're back. We're going to talk about the Illuminati, and this may take us to the end of the show, and we may not even get to cyberbullying, but that's a subject for a whole month because we're doing, once again, SF Johnson. Consulting.com. We're doing webinars for the kids, for the parents, to make you aware.
I mentioned that we'll talk more about
We'll talk about, later.
And then, just.
We'll talk about it towards the end of the show. But I want to go over the Illuminati and what that means and my perspective of what that is.
Okay.
So if you, maybe a couple of years ago, and I know most recently, if you've heard of The Secret.
Yeah.
Okay. The Secret is a combination, it's basically the Illuminati. And they're saying that at some point in time, there were certain principles which include the law of attraction.
Okay.
And the secret is the law of attraction. So whatever you think, whatever you put out there,
mm-hmm.
you're going to attract. Basically, like karma, if you put out negative stuff, you're going to get negative
stuff
back.
Exactly. It's like karma. So how is it new and different? Why
it's not. That's the whole point.
So
it's not, but it's not new and different,
mm-hmm.
but The Secret puts it in terms of science, that your body is a being full of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever energy you put out there is the energy that you're going to give back. And they're saying that the secret, and there are certain principles and certain things that they say you do on a daily basis
mm-hmm.
in order to invoke this principle and make it work for you.
Okay.
That is the Illuminati. That is the Illuminati.
Okay.
That's all that it is.
And so how would you incorporate something like that into your daily life, into something that you did to make something happen?
Okay. So when I watch The Secret,
uh-huh.
and you can go and watch The Secret, there is a black chick on there.
Okay.
And she says, this secret has been around for 2,000 years. Who? And if you're a religious person,
uh-huh.
there's only one thing that's been around for 2,000 years, and that is Jesus Christ.
Oh, I see.
So The Secret is, first, ask for what you want.
Okay.
Ask for what you want. Believe that you have it and sit there and wait for it. But you have to believe in such a way that you have to generate the feeling of having it. If you generate the feeling of having it now, you will get it.
Well, you know what that is? That's just generating the feeling of faith.
Exactly. That is the secret.
Is supposed to do for everybody anyway.
That's why they're saying the Illuminati has been a constant battle between science and religion. Religion tells you that same thing.
And so it really is the melding of both of those two things together.
But The Secret says,
The secret says,
uh-huh. yes, it's religion, okay, you can look at it as religion,
but you have
but
to
it's
see the
science
too.
You are a physical being full of energy.
Mm-hmm.
If you put that energy out there to what you want, you look at it every day, you visualize it, you have the feeling that you have it now,
mm-hmm.
you will have it now.
Okay.
And they're saying that long time ago,
uh-huh.
some people got a hold of this, and they built America on it. They built whatever on it.
And it gets passed on down, and so there's a secret club.
Right.
People that
right.
are sort of over.
Right. And when you and my daughter say, yeah, Mama, when you get to a certain part of prosperity,
uh-huh.
the Illuminati folks come get you.
And what?
And
hold you back.
And make you whatever, say that you will not share this secret with others.
Oh, I see. They kind of they probably came to
mm-hmm.
Oprah Winfrey.
My very first person I've met. Yes.
I went to Oprah.
And they said, you can.
Yes.
But we have to let
you are a girl. You are a girl.
You need to hold the
So system. When Hurricane Katrina hit, act like you're doing something. Go to Africa. Do something. But don't help the people that really don't share the secret.
So how did it get from being something that people use for positive reasons to this perverted?
Just like if you go get the secret, because it says the people, the keepers of the secret, had kept it hidden. So regular people just went
and
to
that,
work
and
every day.
Evil, isn't it?
Yeah.
So withhold that
right.
kind of
so,
power and
magic. Like,
okay.
like they say in Angels and Demons, yes.
Have you read
then,
that?
No. I don't care because I know the secret.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Wait,
I know
absolutely.
The secret spiritually. I know the secret first, spiritually.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's why scientifically it made so much sense to me.
Right.
And it worked. And I told myself beginning a year ago, I'm not going to be working for Fireman's Fund by my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, one way or another, I'm not going to be working for Fireman's
Fund. I know I was saying that. I'm not listening to the declaration.
And the good thing about the secret
yes.
is that all you have to do is generate the feelings of having it. The universe will make it happen. The man that wrote the Chicken Soup for the Soul, he follows the secret. And he said, all I did was say, this is what I want. And he said, lo and behold, things just started working its way. And so, yeah, it sounds like a cult, but it's no different than believing that God will bless you, asking God for what you want, and believing he will bless you.
And don't you think
it is no different.
And don't you think it also takes it out of cult-like status a little bit?
If you
spread the word to more people so that it can't be just restricted to those and few.
So that's why they say, oh, the atheist. You know, God made us as beings. So I don't really, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
It's a constant fight. That's all it is. It's just a fight to make you not believe. Because if everybody believed that this was their God-given, that that's why God made them, everybody would be. That's what the secret says. Why do you think that 1% of the people make 93% of the money? It's no accident. They do it on purpose.
Right.
And there's ways to do it. You wake up every morning, you concentrate, you give thanks. That's the first principle of the secret. You give thanks for what you have. And that's the principle of Christianity. You thank God for what you have, he will give you more.
Mm-hmm.
That's a principle of the secret that has nothing to do with God. You see why there's a fight?
Yes. Yes, I do.
But it's all the same. God made us. We are beings. He said that's no more different than gravity. That's the law. He said whether you're a good person or a bad person,
absolutely.
If you jump off of a building, you're going to land. You're going to hit the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the secret. You ask for what you want.
Absolutely.
You get up every day. You meditate on it. You generate the feeling that you have it, and the universe will bring it to you.
And I have to say, as beautifully tied in it as it is to your things with Christianity so that it doesn't alienate other people, I can tell you from what I know from other types of things to believe in, other types of spirituality, that it fits with everything, that any time that you've sort of let yourself into your own spirituality,
right.
it fits with that and the science.
And that's why they say this is a beautiful time to be alive, you have knowledge on both ends.
It is.
That faith works, yes, but faith works because God made us this way. God made our beings this way, that whatever we ask for, we will receive. Now, I have to say, that stupid fool idiot with the sweat lodge, he was part of the secret. But you can take the secret and you can use it for bad.
But a lot of people have it. So
and you
can away
exactly,
from them. Why
exactly.
Is that?
That's why the one dude I respect, okay?
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to end with this. There's one other dude that's on The Secret. Everybody got to rent that. Get Netflix for free, and you can rent The Secret. He said, he's a businessman, and he said, you know, part of The Secret is to visualize what you want. If there's a beautiful home somewhere, put it up on a vision board and look at it every day. Same thing as asking God for, but you're looking at it every day.
Mm-hmm.
And he put up this home that he was his dream home. He put these vision boards away for 5 or 6, 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
He does his thing. He's moved around the country. He's landed where he's going to stay. His son's kicking a set of boxes. He's like, honey, stop kicking the boxes. He's like, Dad, what's in the box? Oh, those are my vision boards. And he's like, well, it's better for me to show you than to tell you. The vision board he put up 6 years earlier, the home that he envisioned for himself was the home he was living in, and he did not even realize it. And he sat there and he cried and he told his son, he said, honey, I understand finally the law of attraction, that whatever you put out there, you're going to get back. This was our dream home. We had it renovated. I didn't even realize it.
Wow. That's beautiful.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
So no matter what, the law of attraction, whatever you put out there is karma. We call it so many things just to confuse people.
It has a million different names.
Right. All right. So I want people to believe whatever you put out there, good or bad, you're going to get back.
Mm-hmm.
So put the very best out there for yourself, for your children,
exactly.
for your future, even for, and don't even worry about haters because they have nothing to do with it. It's only what you think about yourself that affects your life. There could be a billion haters out there, and they can have no effect on you unless you allow their thinking to get into your thinking.
That is true.
You know what I'm saying? Whatever you want for yourself, you can have. Mm. And that's why I thank God for my kids, because my daughter brought this back to my remembrance in a time when I was ready to say, well, I'm already believing that God's going to bless me. But then here's the scientific proof that when he made us to be blessed, that we, when he spoke a word, let there be, we can do the same thing. And it's all about that. And the fight is to confuse people, to make them believe, yes, a cult is this, is that. No, it's the same thing as your religion. No matter what your religion is, even you said it. I'm not. You're not a person that follows Christianity,
right.
But you can totally relate.
It's relatable.
It's relatable.
Any kind of spirituality that you
All right, so this is the diary. This was probably what we should have talked about on Easter, but me and Ray chilled out. We gave it to people week after Easter. It's a secret. Ask for what you want. Believe that you have it, and watch your creator bring it to you. This is a diary. We come out of SAC every what? Every Sunday?
Yep.
Every. What time, Ray?
3:00.
And do you have fun with me?
Pacific time.
But you know what? Even if you can't, get to us, you can always download.
Absolutely.
And then
play it for your with your friends.
And tell your folks. And we're going to talk about more about the secret later. We love you. Join in next Sunday, 3 to 4. We love you. I love you. God bless you. And God bless all my folks. What you want to say?
I just want to say, when's the cyberbullying?
Next Saturday. Go to sfjohnsonconsulting.com. Sign up. We can work it out. I love you.
No, I'm sorry too, because that was just a confusing situation.
What did you do?
I was trying to
say. You just like said, okay, Bray, I'm playing the music.
No. Remember when you told me if the screen starts going away, just do this?
Tap me, because all I had to do was move the mouse.
I just,
you put the music on the mic.
Sorry.
Today was good, though.
We got a little more music than normal. That's
yeah,
all.
We got a lot of music.
No, that was, it was good today. Absolutely.
Yeah, I liked it. All right.
I was educated.
You sound like you liked it.
I did.
Okay, that's
yeah,
good. When it comes to religion, I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable.
I always like something
you're like you're a heathen.
Yeah.
My dad.
My mom.
Your mom.
My mom calls me the heathen.
No. It's all good.
But
all right.
I'm not.
But we
spiritual.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
Absolutely.
All right, let's go.
Okay, bye.